Okay, I'm going to kick off with seven, tally seven P's, which I thought were really good last week, and I tried very hard to try and work something out that he hadn't put in. And no matter what angle I took it from, I couldn't do it. The seven P's that Taddy gave last week were pleasure, present stress, psychological, pain, parental attitude, parental mode, and peer pressure. Now, out of those seven P's, I suppose the two that I would maybe be sailing closest to the wind all at times would have been pleasure, pain, and present stress. In fact, if you could take drugs today for any reason, mine would be present stress. No amount of drugs would solve the present stress that I suffer from. Drugs. Drugs work on four areas of your life. I never thought I was going to be a drug counsellor, by the way, that I did this talk. Relationships, health, wealth, and work. Four areas of your life that nearly tally touched on nearly every point tonight. Drugs will affect these areas in different ways. In a relationship, if you're becoming a drug addict and getting involved in drugs, your relationship can be broken. If you're working and you're worrying and you need the money to buy your drugs, you're more worried about taking your drugs than you are going to work, you will become unemployed. And then you have your health, of course. If you ever see anybody who's been taking heroin over a period of time, your teeth begin to fall out, or people who take a lot of drugs, their skin goes bad, spots. I'm looking like a bit of an addict tonight. Hair falls out, you know. Let's get the next bit. And your wealth goes because you haven't turned a crown to pay for your addiction. Addiction's a terrible thing, cause all these four things to happen in your life. And of course, when you get to that point, you've got to the point when there's nothing else left in life to really worry about except for the drug that you've been taking. You become dependent upon the drug. The drug becomes your master. You're enslaved to the drug. That sums up basically what Taddy said a wee minute ago. So drugs. Okay, I'm going to run through some of the uses for drugs. I thought I would do this slightly like this tonight. So, partying. I went to university for 7 years and I never did any of this whatsoever. I have never been in an illegal rave. I have never danced and tranced myself in the all sorts of states and been lying slightly worse for wear in the corner saying, "Why is your friend listening to that radio all day in the corner?" I used to fall asleep by the speakers when we were at nightclubs. You use the word fall asleep as a hidden meaning. Euphoria and the relationships that were formed. There was a lot of us at university, all had a good time. And it was all a connection between the friendships, the euphoria, and all the things that you did together. And they all became a all-in-one kind of drug. And then you have drugs that are used for, I would use the word here, chilling. I don't know what other way you would put this, but smoking cannabis and weed, chilling out is what people I know used to call it. And maybe after you've been out all night in a club scene, I wouldn't know it, they were getting up too later on in the day. But you start going down this line. I watched people at university who started to chill out a wee too much, didn't go to courses, the drug became their life, their personalities changed, slight psychosis came in, lost purpose of drive, purpose at all, had mood swings, and just became completely addicted to smoking marijuana or weed. Just getting ready for the next one. Image and perception. Steroid use is crazy at the minute. I, of course, being this sort of muscular person, you can't see it because of this shirt. Now, I don't have to use steroids to get the look that I have, right? But steroid use is a big thing. Designer drugs, I like to call them. The boys in the gym are crazy about it. And here's the odd thing about this drug. They don't do it to look good for the chicks. They do it so they can look better than the person beside them. It's a man thing. Look at my muscles. Look at your muscles, you know. And that's what it's... I don't get it. They do it to look good for one another, tougher, bigger, and better. The problem with these drugs, and like most drugs, but particularly the steroids, is that you look, well, great on the outside, if you want to call it that, but inside, your heart's getting too big, your liver's being destroyed, your kidneys can't take it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time, and he had to go for a quadruple heart bypass, because of the effects the steroids had on his heart. The heart grows bigger when you take steroids, believe it or not. Every muscle is affected by anabolic steroids. Okay, this is what the videos were about earlier on. Drug use for prescription drugs. These are the secret drug addictions, if you want to call it. It's easy to become addicted to a pain relief drug, and nobody need know about it. And you can get codeine over the counter. You can get up as many times a day as you want, go to different places and get it. Not advisable. But after a while, these kind of drugs, you can slip into all sorts of sleeping pills as well. And there's other big drugs in the 70s. I can't remember the names of them, but people would have like tranquilizers or something like that. People would take them. Okay, what are drugs used for then? Oops. Drugs are used to having a good time. That's what it's all about. Get the drugs in. Get the E's are good. The Ebony E's are good. Never heard that song in my life. And you know, there's lots of other songs. You go out partying and it's all fantastic. This is what it's all about. The fun and euphoria. The festivals are kicking off. Then, of course, the drugs become addictive and then it becomes a bit more of a problem. It's not fun anymore. It's just all about trying to get the next hit, which Sally talked about. And then this is a picture of Leah Betts. Now, I was out the night that this happened. There was a whole load of us were out. And this news broke through, believe it or not, in the clubs we were in. And it brought a whole lot of people down the ground quite quickly. But this girl actually was not a drug addict, as we know. She just happened to take one tablet of a certain type once. And the effect on it was that she died. She never recovered. This is the danger of taking drugs that you don't know anything about. A lot of the drugs that we are buying... Oh, goodness, have I said that? A lot of the drugs that people are buying on the streets are mixed with all kinds of stuff, rat poison, other things. Personal automatic, I believe, was a common one when I was at college. And so you don't know what you're taking and the dangers behind it, and all of a sudden you find that you could be in that situation. Any drug addict, we'd heard of the guy a few weeks ago, Gary. Anybody taking drugs can end up in that condition. Okay, so what can drugs offer that God cannot? What do drugs do for you? Or what do drugs do for people? Well, what do drugs offer that God cannot? Well, a lot of people will think drugs can offer you a good time, hassle-free time, fun and excitement, euphoria, all the fun and stuff that church doesn't offer you. There's no fun in church, there's no happy dancing, you know, and there's no euphoria. Well, actually, that's incorrect. If you come here on a Sunday morning, you'll find there's lots of singing, lots of dancing, lots of hand raving, which is the sort of stuff you do at a rave. In fact, this morning was really like a wee mini rave in here. All the arms were in the air, everybody was moving, the music was good. So, God can offer that. Some people think he can't. What do drugs do? Drugs lead to a life of dependency. Denise spoke in this earlier on. We become more. We think we are independent. When really we are dependent. You're either dependent on the drugs you take, or you're dependent on the God, or the God that you follow. And then it comes to the point where you can't live or live without them. This is the problem with drug addiction. You can't. You want to come off them. Maybe you don't want them anymore. The minute you put it out of your mind, a couple of days tick past, and you want them. And you know it's not doing you any good, but you still want the drug. You want the high. You want the hit. Okay, drugs aren't doing what you think they're doing. This is the placebo effect. The placebo effect is taking a drug that you think is making things better, that you think is dealing with the pain or the hurt or whatever the issue is that you have, but in reality that drug is doing absolutely nothing. The brain is being deceived into thinking that there's a drug in there that's doing a certain thing. It's producing its own natural chemicals, and therefore it's producing the effect that the drug is meant to be doing. It's called the placebo effect. And this is actually administrated, believe it or not. So when a person takes a drug of no effect and believes that that drug is working as normal, that is the placebo effect. Now, what if the drug that you're taking no longer works? What do you do when you're taking a drug and it was good for a long time, you've been taking it, and all of a sudden you realize that it's wearing off a wee bit. It's not as good as it once was. The last batch of whatever the illegal drugs that people take wasn't as good as the one before. You end up taking more and more and more of that drug until you you attain the same high that you once got. The drugs aren't making it any better at that point. All you're trying to do is take more drugs to try and make it better. The drugs aren't working any longer. They're doing the opposite, which is now instead of being fun and happy and enjoyable, they're now becoming, you're now the slave that Taddy spoke about earlier on, and you're now doing whatever you can to get whatever you can into you to try and get the same hit, as it were. So the word placebo in Latin means I shall please. Isn't that a really strange interpretation? When I first discovered it, I thought, wow, what an interpretation. I shall please. The drug means I shall please. So when you're taking that drug is pleasing you as you begin to take it. Now, the problem with this, I shall please, is you're pleasing yourself with the drugs that you're taking. So therefore, you're pleasing yourself. And if you're pleasing yourself as a Christian, if you're taking drugs, then you're not going to be pleasing God. This is the issue. You do it, it's a selfish form of addiction when you take drugs. You're doing it for yourself. I am pleasing myself, therefore I am not pleasing God. As a believer, if I'm taking drugs, I'm doing it for myself. And my body, that is a temple supposedly, I am filling it with narcotics, drugs. I am doing things to make myself feel good. Therefore, I am no longer pleasing God. Now, here's another one for you. This got me doubly excited. The opposite of placebo is the nocebo effect. This is also Latin. And what it means is, I shall harm. And this is what happens when the drug that you're taking, and I'm using placebo as an example, I am pleasing myself, I'm taking more and more of it, and I'm transferring it obviously to your drug use. When the drug isn't working any longer and you're taking more and more of them, it's no longer pleasing you, or you're no longer pleasing yourself, you are now harming yourself. And the drug is harming you. Believe it or not, there are side effects of placebo which are harmful, unpleasant side effects. The same thing exists for drug users. When you take a lot of drugs, they can have all sorts of horrible side effects. The thing about the joyful drugs we've been talking about, the sort of drugs of choice at the minute, even in Bangor at the weekends, is they give you such a great high and a great hit and everything's great and you're dancing and singing and everybody's having a great time. That's about 2:30. Come about 4:30, you've come down, life's beginning to come back to normality. See, by 7:30, you're ready for hanging yourself. Drugs have a serious come down when it's the sort of social drug that we've been talking about mainly. And when you have the calm down, you suddenly realize that your life isn't what it was. You think you're in a terrible place and everything's going wrong. Drugs begin to hurt. Reality kicks in. Okay, our bodies are temples. This is what the Bible tells me. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? In other words, the Spirit of God dwells within the believer. This is just the temple for the Spirit to live, to be in. And therefore, when I'm doing drugs or abusing myself in any way, I am harming myself, but I am also hurting or grieving the Spirit within me. So why pray when you can take drugs? There's a Pink Floyd song. I know John doesn't know who Pink Floyd is. There's a Pink Floyd song, and it's titled Comfortably Numb. And it sums up a lot of what people do when they take drugs. Comfortably numb means your body has come to a point where you're feeling relaxed and nothing matters. It's all a big fluff around you and you don't care about anything. That's when drugs are working. Why pray when you can take drugs? Drugs will not fix the following. They will not fix your stress levels. No matter how many drugs you take, the minute the effect wears off, your stress is still there. They will not take away your worry. Yes, for a couple of hours, the worries will drift away and everything will be great and life is fine. But when you come down, the worry is even worse. Your money problems. Your drugs aren't going to help your money problems. The drugs are going to make your money problems worse. You're spending all your money on the things. And then, of course, your personal problems, maybe your relationship, your friendships, anything like that. those problems will disappear for a wee while, just like taking alcohol or any other drug. But of course, the minute you come off it and you come down with a bang. So why pray when you can take drugs? Well, prayer will never act like a placebo or a nocebo. I hope I'm saying that right. The happy pill that you're taking, the drug that you're taking, make you smile for a while, everything will be rosy. When you come off it, it won't be rosy. Prayer is not about making you feel happy or sad. It's not a conditional thing that you must be coming to prayer feeling really sad and feeling really hurt. Of course, you can come to prayer in happiness as well. You can give thanks for the good things. But you can also come to prayer when you're in the bad place or you're looking for the Father's help. You're looking for His guidance. And even, like Tati said, to be set free instantly from the addiction that you're in. But prayer is not a placebo. It is not about making you feel good or a drug that's going to fix it. It's not a nocebo, which means it isn't going to work. Prayer is a real thing and it's a reality. When we pray, we're coming to God as our loving Father and we're asking and seeking His face to help and to guide us. And we're coming, when you're coming to God like this in prayer, about all the things we've talked about, you're coming with a humble heart and a right attitude before God. It's not a throwaway prayer. It's not a cry for help momentary prayer. And then when you realize you've sort of leveled out again, that you don't really need the prayer any longer and you don't need to come to God and pray anymore. It's coming to seek God's face, asking Him to look right into your heart, to see where you are, to see the difficulties that you're facing. God already knows everything about a drug addict. He doesn't need you to tell Him. But He needs you to recognize when you've got to the point where you are not sufficiently able to deal with the problem. Your independence has now become a nothingness, and you are now seeking God, and He has to be your one and only. Therefore, everything else that you have, all the drug addictions, all the other things, have to be put aside. And you then have to become completely dependent upon God. When you're on drugs and an addicted, you're dependent upon yourself. Nobody else matters, and nothing else matters. But God knows. There's a song by The Verve that I love. I used to sing it sometimes. And it's called When the Drugs Don't Work. And it is a reality. The drugs will only work for a period of time. But when it comes to the point when everything else is crumbling, the relationship's going, the work's gone, the job's gone, just like the videos at the start, when everything else is disintegrated in your life, the drugs are no longer working. The only thing that I suggest that is going to work is that you're coming to God in prayer with the heart we've talked about. And when you're coming in prayer, prayer is not dependent upon anything else except for you coming to God with the right heart and God hearing what you're asking for. There's nothing else can be added to it or taken away from it. And that is the real answer to the problems that you face if you're facing drug addiction. Coming to God in prayer with the right heart and the right attitude. Like Taddy said, you know, whenever he cried out to Jesus, if you know his testimony, and he cried out to Jesus and Jesus heard him, and he was saved when he accepted Jesus, and everything in his life, drug addiction, he was set free from it. His chains were gone and he was no longer a slave to it. Coming to God in prayer, coming to God, He knows your trouble, He knows the problems, He knows the situations, but He's just looking for you to come to Him and to pour out your heart to Him, to accept what He has done for you, that His Son, Jesus, went to the cross for you. For your sin, that you would accept Him as your Savior and therefore come to God, and He will not ignore you, He will not refuse you, He will not just completely ignore everything you're saying to Him. God will hear your prayers and He will answer as He sees fit.